Sports with Katie Nolan is presented by Coors Light, the beer made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Look, I love dogs. I got a big heart.
Yeah.
What the f*** are you doing stopping to touch someone's dog?
Sometimes you just really want to touch it. Sometimes it's just got, it's such a good boy.
No.
But is it such a good boy?
It's never a good enough boy.
Oh my God, it's always the best boy.
Don't touch that dog.
Hey everybody, welcome to
Sports.
I think that's how we're going to say it.
Sports.
Otherwise, I have to say, welcome to sports with a question mark. Or do I just say, welcome to sports? Whatever, welcome to sports. We're going to figure out an intro eventually. This is podcast numero uno. You've probably already listened to podcast zero. If not, that's fine. I didn't listen to your last podcast either. I am joined today, obviously, by my producer, Ashley.
Hello.
And also producer, Daniel, over in Bristol.
What up?
Should I just call you Dop?
You can call me whatever you want.
All right. I'm joined by the in Bristol. Before we get started, we have a guest today, Adam Pally, comedian. You probably know him from his role on Happy Endings or, what's Mindy Kaling's show? The Mindy Project. Or numerous other things he's done. He's very funny. We talked a lot, which I always feel like I think isn't gonna happen and then does, which I think is a me problem, which I think I need to work on. But we talked for quite a bit. And he's real funny, so I don't want to waste too much time with all the noise up front here. I think we're going to spend most of the time in the podcast with that today. That's not to say that's what this podcast is always going to be. I'd love to be very perfectly clear here that we're figuring this shit out as we go. I just realized I'm not allowed to curse anymore, but it's fine. Just I'll try to curse less because beeps are annoying. But before we do jump in, we got a big weekend of football coming up, so we might as well talk about the games very briefly and just give our thoughts on who's going to win. I have old lines in front of me that I wrote down, but I don't know if they've moved much. I know the Titans-Pats line was moving down, but whatever. We'll go in order. Before we start, I missed to mention that it's Ashley's birthday. I feel like that's important.
It was yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. What?
But I like to... Oh, you didn't know that, Tom.
No, happy birthday.
Thanks, buddy.
She's a little hungover.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Which is a little my fault.
Mostly, yes.
Which I a little bit wear as a badge of honor.
don't seem upset about
last
it.
Last night we went to some bougie, I mean, the word speakeasy gets thrown out a lot. And it usually just means, oh, you just gotta go through an extra door. It doesn't mean what it used to. But this place really did have, they told us they had Prohibition era cocktails that you could order that literally, there was like a $600 martini that Steph Snowden almost ordered, until we realized that would be absolutely insane. So it was fun, but you get drunk quick.
Yeah. I'm a mom now, so I don't drink that often anymore.
Well, my mom still takes a long time to get drunk, so I don't know about that statistic, but yeah, so, it was fun for me to be out with somebody who gets drunk quick. Cause then I can just get like a responsible amount of buzz and still make it home in time for like dinner. Just kidding. We had to go home at once. So Ashley's a little hungover, which is my fault. I love it. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're my favorite.
Aww.
And now let's talk about the games. And we will start with, you're an Eagles fan.
I am.
We're going to start with Falcons Eagles. The spread last I saw, the Eagles +2.5. They are the first ever team to be the number one seed in the playoffs. And a home underdog in the first game.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to me, but I think it's deserved. They're not the same.
You can't possibly be feeling confidence.
No, I'm not. They could win if they run the ball always and can control the clock, but I could also really see, I could see it go the other way. So I'm not confident going in at all.
I will say, as a Patriots fan, I don't know if you know this, I can give you some insight on the Falcons. They tend to sometimes maybe f*** it up towards the end. So it's like, if you guys just don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't stop at halftime.
If we don't
fight
turn
through.
The ball over, there's a chance.
How crazy, though, like, for Matt Ryan for this season, I can't imagine what's going on in his head. Every time I stepped out on the field, I'd be like, oh, my God, remember when I did that awful thing? Remember when I f***ing ate it? And now I have to go do it again.
I mean, athletes, though, you have to have a short memory. They say that all the time.
Yeah, but that's like saying, be yourself. You can say whatever the f*** you want. It doesn't usually mean anything or work. That's tough.
Yeah, it's hard.
That's really hard. But what a story if they come back and If it's Patriots-Falcons again, oh my gosh. I don't know what I'm going to do about it.
No way. There's not a chance the Falcons are the team that goes through.
Dop, who do you think's going to win that game?
I think it's the Falcons. I just don't... In watching Nick Foles play these last couple of games, he just... There's something about him that I just... I don't trust it. I don't trust it. If I was an Eagles fan, I would be nervous going into this game. And if this was Carson Wentz, I think it would be a lockup. So I'm taking
remember
the Falcons.
Remember when Nick Foles... Was your quarterback before?
I do.
And he had like an insanely low amount of interceptions, and everyone was like, "This guy's gonna be the guy." And then, Whoa, he is not the f-ing guy.
There's like,
how does that happen? How does that f-ing happen? That doesn't make sense to me. How are you so good? And then like, no, never mind.
I think
was
it
just
was
joking.
Like he has a lot of potential, and then I was like, oh, maybe not that much actually.
Yeah.
There's a crazy stat I read that over the course of the last 2 weeks, when Foles is in the game, the Eagles are 1 for 17 on converting third downs.
Yo,
they've converted one
bad?
Third down.
Are you saying that's bad?
It's not great.
All right, so everybody's picking. Who are you picking?
I'm going to pick the Eagles because I have to, but I don't think they're going to win.
I'm going to pick the Falcons, but I'm telling you, I don't know. I think the Eagles could do it, but whatever. I'll pick the Falcons because all I want to talk about is Titans at Pats.
Dun, dun, dun.
Spread was -13.5 last
oh
I checked.
Gosh.
So if we were picking against the spread, I'd take the Titans just with points just because I feel bad. Any spread that big, I'm not usually going to actually look at because that's whatever. But yeah, no, I'm taking the Patriots. What about you?
I'm going to take the Patriots.
Oh, it's risky,
when they
risky
are,
play.
When Tom Brady's pissed off.
Yeah, he's mad.
He plays very well.
Dop, what do you think?
I think the same thing. I'm taking the Patriots. But I would want to say this. I love seeing Derrick Henry run the football.
Yeah, he's been real good.
He has been real good. Like, he's just fun to watch.
Yeah, he's a good time, one might say. A lot of malarkey happening there on that team. I just can't with
wow.
Mike Malarkey.
Wow.
I know. What did you, any thoughts on that? And I'd like to be clear, Seth Wickersham, amazing, incredible reporter, and I don't in any way doubt the things that his sources are telling him. I mean, the impact of that article. I think it's like, who cares?
I don't know that the article is going to change things one way or the other. Like, they're either having drama or they're not, you know?
I feel like there's been a battle of egos since the day they've been egos. So
yeah.
It's like, who cares?
And the public knowing about it doesn't change how they're going to react.
It's a dumb take, but it just feels like it just gives them something to rally behind in the locker room. And it's like, that's the last thing the Patriots need.
No.
Doesn't it seem like Belichick is the one guy that can compartmentalize anything that is happening?
Yes, like the murder he probably committed before. I'm just saying, like, you could kill somebody, and I think Bill Belichick would be the guy who could kill somebody and go to work that day and get through it.
100%.
I don't think he's a murderer. I'd like to go on. This is all allegedly. Please don't pull this quote. But I think he could kill somebody, go to work, and you wouldn't be like, Bill's acting weird today. If it sounds like I'm flying through this, it's because Stephen A. Smith is literally waiting to get into this studio, and I'm not giving up the end of this podcast for him, so we're going to get through it. Saints-Vikings. I think it's Vikings -4. This is going to be the best game of the weekend.
I agree. I'm taking the Saints because I think they have the momentum.
I skipped the other game, but that's fine. We'll get to that one. We'll go back. You're taking the Saints because they have the momentum. They do look good. Drew Brees, man. There's just a comfort when you see him. He's just confident in how much time he has in the pocket before he has to move. And you're just like, I feel at ease. I feel at ease watching Drew Brees. Wow, I didn't do that on purpose.
That's a t-shirt.
I'm actually really sorry. Dop, who do you think's going to win?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'll tell you what. I really think that I think I'm going to take Minnesota. I like Minnesota at home. I really think that they are a team that I don't understand how Case Keenum is playing as well as he is.
I know. But that's like the opposite Nick Foles versus
It really is. Like, yes. Sorry.
Dude, my producer picked off Case Keenum. In a game of pickup football on the roof of Twitter at Super Bowl 50. And now he's doing well. That's insane to me.
Yeah.
I love the idea of the Vikings being in the Super Bowl. I don't think it's going to happen, but man, that would be cool.
That would be
really cool to play in Minnesota. I think it'd be the first team that's ever played the Super Bowl in their home. That's just really cool. And it almost makes it worth it that we have to go to fucking Minnesota for the damn Super Bowl. So I guess I think the Saints are going to win, but I'm going to take the Vikings. And Jags Steelers, I would love for the Jags to take out the Steelers.
Don't say it. Well,
oh my God, it would be amazing. And I don't think the Jags are going to be an easy play if they do play against the Patriots. But I will. It's just the Steelers. The last time they played, 30-9, the Jaguars won. Been through 75,000 picks. I had him. That was the week I benched him as my fantasy quarterback.
Oh.
I was like, that's enough here. We're done. Why am I? Go away.
Yeah.
And then I lost everything all the time. Yeah. Let's. talk more about my fantasy team later. I would love for the Jags to beat the Steelers. The spread is Steelers minus 7. I think that's a little high.
Yeah.
But then again, Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles.
Is bad.
He's not good.
Doing a lot with his feet.
Doing one more yard with his feet than his hands.
Yeah, doing a couple things with his feet. Not doing so much with his hands.
Nah.
And I think it's because his arms are bad. His arm is bad. He has bad arms and fine feet. That's my tail of the tape of Blake Bortles. Yep. Fine feet, bad arms. Face, later. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. I'm gonna stop you.
Sure.
I'm going to take the Steelers, but I think it makes me nervous because this is the kind of game that sometimes they, like, just screw up.
Mm.
And
you're married to a Steelers fan.
I am, so I watch a lot of Steelers games.
Yeah.
But I'm taking Steelers because everyone wants to see Steelers Pats. That's what everybody wants. Don't take that away from
people.
That's
not what I want. Anybody else?
Everyone else. That's the game people
want
to watch.
That is also not what I want. I want to watch Jags Pats.
You do.
I do, absolutely. Here's the thing about Blake Bortles. Like, sometimes he is the guy that you just mentioned, and then sometimes he does these things where it's like, wait a second. Isn't that Blake Bortles playing quarterback? But he just dropped a dime right in there. Every once in a while, he'll fool you. That's all I'm saying. And last time they played, Leonard Fournette, you know, had 181 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean,
damn.
I'm going to do this. I am taking the Jaguars this week.
Ooh.
Like, straight up?
Straight up.
Wow.
Because
I take the Jaguars at the points, but I don't know about the Steelers. I think I'm going to take the Steelers, like, to win the game.
That's all right. You can be wrong.
Okay, Dop. It's podcast number one, so if you want to if you want to have a speaking role going forward, I'm going to need you to pipe the f*** down over there. I mean, pipe down over there. Gosh, it's hard not to curse. Golly gee. Okay, we have to get out of the studio, and this is an amazing interview with Adam Pally, so take a listen to that. It starts kind of abruptly because he walked into the studio, and there's a bunch of soccer stuff hanging up, so we were just talking about that, and we just jump right into it. So enjoy. This is Adam Pally. Thanks for listening to episode one of sports? Of sports? Okay. Enjoy.
Think about the teams, the cities that have soccer teams in the United States. They're all like Orlando City.
That is true.
It's all like, you know, the Nashville Ball Kickers. They're all sponsored by like a weird company. Like, soccer is so unpopular in America that you can't even have like the New York whatever. They have to be like the Red Bull New Jersey Metro Stars or whatever.
Speaking of which, do you like soccer? I know you're a sports fan.
I am a sports fan. I don't like soccer per se.
No. That's okay.
I like it during the World Cup
because
it's exciting and it feels like a special thing. But I think that's the only time soccer should be played.
Ever.
Yeah. I like hockey a lot, but I feel the same way about hockey they do soccer. I'm just like not into it as much because of the lack of things that happen.
Mm.
You know, like...
Mm.
Not a lot.
It's hard because you gave a look too. I love hockey. I can't...
No,
but I get it.
I love hockey. I really do. There's nothing better than going to a live hockey game.
That is the best sport to
But see I think the reason I never got into it like I am with basketball or baseball was because it's just like the games end 3-2.
Yeah.
You know? And like you wait and you wait and you wait and there's one goal. And like the things that happen are strategic, you know, in soccer and hockey. They're like strategic things that happen around the goals, like, you know, like
that you're like you either care or you don't.
Yeah,
and
it's
you
like,
just don't.
And you well, yeah. I care, but I just like I don't. I want to see goals.
Yeah,
you know, I want to see. I would love hockey if that net was like bigger.
Really?
Yes, that net it makes no sense.
But
to
in
me.
Soccer, it couldn't be any bigger.
Yeah, and I don't understand why no one could score. I could kick a ball in that.
It's criticized as a very American thing to say about soccer, but I'm always like, what I don't like is just that, like, sports aren't always happening. It's like hanging out, and then a little bit of sports happens, and then it goes back to just like jogging.
And soccer, well, I know, every time I turn on soccer, it looks like, just like two dudes that hadn't seen each other in a while from Paris are walking in the grass. And then their uncle, who's behind them in a suit, is just like always yelling.
Yep, that the coaches
just, like,
are fun.
It's just
in, like
that,
European
that's
soccer.
All, yeah, the thing I love about soccer is that all those coaches look dapper in those suits. And I think the NBA should take a, I think baseball and football should take a cue from that. Bill Belichick looks like a homeless person.
That is true.
And I know he's like a, you know, weird savant or whatever, but it would be a lot better if he was wearing a suit.
Would it?
Yes.
I think he would look so weird in a suit.
No, it would make me think, like, looking at him in those tattered shirts, it's like, when you see a mental patient that, like, is walking outside the hospital. And you're like, oh, that's nice. They got him some air.
And it reminds you what, you're like, oh, that's right. We're near that hospital.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
we're at 66.
You're like, oh, good. He's getting some air. He's still wearing the robe out.
There should be a courtyard for this, but I'm glad he's on the street with the rest of us. I think if Bill Belichick wore a suit, it would be really revealing because I think the suit wouldn't fit impeccably. And I think it would make me more uncomfortable.
Oh, you
mean when
like,
you see someone clean up and you're like, you don't clean up nice.
Right.
I would like it if you cleaned up nice, but that suit's not tailored impeccably.
As opposed to the perfectly body sculpting ripped sweatshirt he wears now.
I'm cool with him looking schlubby. Because then I'm like, that's okay. That's what that's his bit. He's doing a bit.
Yeah,
even though
I don't
I
don't want the coaches to do bits.
Oh,
like,
I do.
I want the Steve Kerr is a great example. Steve Kerr always looks great.
Yeah, he does.
He always looks great.
Fantastic.
And I feel like that's part of the reason that the players respect him.
Yeah.
And like Greg Popovich always looks great. He mixes it up and he'll throw a pair of like wide leg khakis in there, but, but it's done in this way of like, you know that Greg Popovich is sitting in the mirror, combing, like putting his hair together, putting his jacket on and taking it seriously. And then you see some other players, like I know, you know, like Fred Hoiberg, and I know he can't wear a tie because it'll make him have a heart attack or something, but you're just like, buddy, get your stuff together.
Yeah.
Put on a good suit. You're on the sidelines. It would kill me when I see schlubby coaches.
How do you feel about baseball managers wearing uniforms?
I absolutely hate it.
I love it.
I absolutely hate it. And
why?
I've hated it my entire life. Because they're not on the team.
But they want to be.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the
I have
big
a problem,
problem
with like the first base coach wearing the
Can
uniform.
You imagine?
Like, what? Who are you?
Can you imagine if Phil Jackson
Yes.
During the Lakers run was
yes.
wearing a Shaquille yes. O'Neal jersey?
No, he'd have to wear a Phil Jackson jersey.
That would be way worse. Yes. You want to talk about not flattering. These guys need to be in nice suits.
I know.
All need to be sponsored by better suit people.
Okay. I like it.
And you know who I'm coming for first is my old friend from college, if he listens to this. Luke Walton
in a suit might be too dangerous.
He's in a suit every day.
I find him weirdly attractive.
What do you mean weirdly? He's a handsome guy.
I don't know. Is that a hot
take? That's not weird. No. Luke's a handsome guy.
Well, I think it's weird because it snuck up on me. I wasn't expecting it until it happened like the other day.
Oh, really?
When he had that, when he said that he benched Lonzo because his dad
was
chopping
his
and I was like, I'm into you.
You know,
I wasn't expecting it.
You know what would be a lot cooler? If when he said that about Lonzo Ball, he wasn't wearing one of Steve Harvey's suits from the Kings of Comedy.
So it's bad.
Men's
fashion confuses me. I'll hear people be like, "Oh, he's doing two buttons." I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means either. But I think it refers to the amount of buttons on the suit. But I think that it's crazy like that how fashionable the NBA is when you have like Russell Westbrook. I watch the beginning of the games now, and sometimes I DVR them so that I can see what they wear.
Like that tunnel walk?
The tunnel walk is amazing.
Yeah.
What, Jeff Hornacek can't go to Joseph Aboud? Jeff Hornacek has to go to that guy that's like, you're going to love the way you look.
I guarantee it.
Like, Jeff Hornacek has the worst suits in the league.
Really? On the record. You're going on record. Jeff Hornacek
It's between
suits.
Hornacek and Luke Walton.
Yeah.
With, Eric Spoelstra and Spo is a good looking guy too. Why does that guy wear the most ill fitting? He's in Miami. Call Pitbull. I'm sure Pitbull.
I think you just dial zero from any phone in Miami. And
Pitbull will drop a suit.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Spoelstra has also aged like 25 years in 10.
He aged. And
you just see it like, oh man.
Yeah, and poorly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you are worn in.
Yeah.
Now.
He looks now like Ralph Macchio if he was found at the bottom of a lake.
Mean but accurate.
I don't think... Is that mean?
A little, but...
To who?
A good,
Eric Spolesta?
No. To Ralph Macchio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what constitutes a bad suit? I'm curious. Is it... You just know it when you see it?
You know it when you... I mean, like, fit is probably the number one thing,
yeah,
because you can kind of, like, move color all around. Mm. But fit is the number one thing, and then color would be number two, and then material is...
You can tell? See, that's, I think, where I'm like, I didn't notice. If something's a cheap
but
material, I don't think I'd know.
No, but you would know egregiously, like... You would know it if some suits are also the easiest thing not to wear badly, which
yeah,
is what's
that's
flummoxing.
That's why I'm confused that anyone still has a bad suit.
I know, and especially in the NBA.
Yeah.
When it's like all eyes on that suit.
Yeah. So better suits for them and suits for all coaches across all sports.
I'm not ready to make that declaration.
Okay. All right. I apologize.
But I do think that I would like a little more from the manager.
Okay.
You know, also I'll say this. I'd like my coaches and managers to stay in shape.
Yeah.
Letter to the baseball guys.
Yeah.
I know you're not playing anymore, but let's keep it together.
You'd think they'd at least be like, yeah, I know I'm not playing anymore, but I do have to wear the uniform.
Yeah, which is like tight and I know. These guys throw it on like it's baby one-piece pajamas. When a manager runs out on the field, like waddles out like that, I feel like it's a baby in a one-piece.
It doesn't not resemble a small child learning to walk in a one piece.
And then they have a tantrum. They're like kicking dirt. It looks
yeah.
like a baby.
It does look like
it would look a lot more civilized if they were in a suit.
Yeah. I think it'd be weird if they were in a suit.
I don't
almost.
Think
it'd
so.
Be like, what are you doing here? This is a game that grown men play.
That's right.
For a living. Why are you in a suit?
Because I'm strategically manipulating it.
Do you think that there's like a written rule that the manager has to? Like, you think if somebody just was like, you know what?
I'm going to dress nicely.
I'm showing up today in a suit.
I don't know.
Who's going to tell me I have to put back on my baby pajamas?
I don't know. The only professional sport that's not so, like, ass backwards and racistly corrupt in their rules is the NBA.
Yeah.
Every other sport. So, like, in baseball.
And it took a minute, too. There was that whole, like, you've got to wear it. Didn't they make them wear
yes,
suits
the
for
Allen
a while?
Iverson thing? Yeah,
yeah.
But Adam Silver is the greatest commissioner.
He's pretty good.
Maybe of all time.
Yeah.
I would say that David Stern was okay, and Adam Silver is better than David Stern. And they're the only league. Every other league I wouldn't trust to not do something in, like, a weird racist, like, you know.
Isn't that weird? It's like, man, no. I wish I could trust the sports league to maybe not.
No. It's a big business in America. It's
yeah.
hugely racist.
Yeah.
There's not
Good point.
There's not one that isn't.
Good point.
And misogynist.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. I just said thank you. As if and, like, thank you so much.
And again, basketball is the only sport that is even trying to rectify
with women.
That with women.
Oh, 100%.
I do not understand. I don't get it. Like
soccer too, but we're not counting that. International soccer, I would say, is trying.
That's great.
I just
don't care either way.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that the NBA is the only sport. Like, I find it impossible to believe that women wouldn't be better at the NFL than men.
Ooh.
I
expound upon this take because I love it.
I just find it impossible to believe that they wouldn't be. The idea that a woman couldn't take a hit is bonkers.
Nope. Nobody take that quote out of context in the sport of football. Just to
yeah,
hear you
no,
say,
no, no.
Oh, to say a woman can't take a hit is crazy.
No,
I
no,
like
no,
to
no.
hit a woman.
No, no, yeah, no, of course. Well, first of all, if any...
I'm just kidding.
Even the physical image of me hitting a woman is so...
Laugh. It's almost
it's
funny.
Laugh out loud.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't mean to be rude.
No.
It makes me want to laugh.
No, it's okay. I think that's a good thing. But I mean, like, I think that that's probably the reason, like, women haven't been let into the NFL, right? Is because there's a certain level of, like, well, you know, Ray Lewis coming down the middle lays a hit on a woman. Like, is she going to be able to get up? I'm like, have you seen women?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she'll get up. I bet there's another woman that will also hit Ray Lewis.
Yeah, and
in full
also,
pads.
Also, do the guys always just spring right back up?
No,
like, no, we've got it's not a,
get
it's
hit.
A dangerous
yeah.
sport.
And I've gotten into a lot of fights, like verbal spats with my wife. And she wins every time because she is markedly smarter than me.
Yeah.
Markedly.
We tend to, yeah.
So you're telling me that, like, I fully believe that if you gave my wife 6 months, she could run an NFL franchise. And I don't understand how no one else, like, why is it like, well, she can't handle 11 men on the field. You think she's going to remember that?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same as a hedge fund or a politics. I don't understand why it makes zero sense to me.
Yeah, I will say I think that there's a lot of things that women are told, like, is a weakness that it took me a couple years of, like, hearing that to finally be like, hey, all that stuff you think we're bad at as a weakness is actually, like, a super strength. And I'm realizing now that that's why people do that. Or, women are emotional. It's like, yeah, but that's, like, an instinct thing. We have a drive that tells us which is a good idea and which is a bad idea that guys don't always have.
Completely.
And that's a good thing. It's not like, I'm going to cry in a meeting. It's like, no, you have your feelings that you can know which way is the right way to do things.
Yes, there's an intuition that some men don't have.
Yeah.
But I think also, systemically, you wouldn't even know. Like, we don't even know what a woman is capable of in these industries because they haven't even been, like, brought in.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if Bill Belichick has a daughter, but
does he? I think he might.
He does. He went to high school with her.
You did?
Oh, wow.
Does she look like a homeless person?
No, she doesn't. She's lovely.
Lovely,
she's
right?
She's a nicely tailored
suit. And I'm sure she's brilliant.
She's really smart. I think she coaches lacrosse at, I want to say, Wesleyan.
So there you go. Like, she's coaching lacrosse. Coaching lacrosse.
Guarantee you it's women's lacrosse.
It's definitely women's lacrosse. She's coaching women's lacrosse. Yeah. You're telling me that had Bill Belichick not encouraged his daughter to study the game of football and come with him to practices and people weren't like, this ain't no place for a lady, you're telling me she couldn't coach in the NFL?
I don't believe that. That's overlooked too, is people are like, women don't like sports. It's like, well, yeah, their dads don't also force them to follow in their footsteps.
Women like sports.
Yeah, we do. I don't. No, but like there's, you know, Belichick has sons who coach. And it's like, you think one of them could have potentially not liked sports? Probably, but you're Bill Belichick, so you kind of made them, and that's why they love them or work at them as much as they do. Your daughter could have been exactly the same.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, and that's fine. It's fine. Great. Like, your sons are coaches. Great. Your daughter is a coach also, and watch, Becky Hammon's going to win a championship.
Yeah.
As soon as that team is going to rally around her. She's a brilliant coach. She's a genius. She has a genius basketball mind. And it's gonna happen. I bet you it happens within the decade.
Yeah.
Because
I hope so. That'd be awesome.
Greg Popovich does not look healthy. And, you know, his skin is like the color of chalk. Every time I see Greg Popovich, I'm like, oof, I hope that heart keeps pumping.
Yeah. We can't lose Greg Popovich.
If we lost Pop.
We can't lose Pop within 5 years. I need him to make it.
Through the Trump presidency.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna, but yes, I need him just to stick around for a little. Can you imagine?
Oh God, it would
be
a national. It would be as bad to me as the Beastie Boys.
Ugh.
Because that was, I think, the worst one for me.
So far in life.
In my adulthood.
Other than like a relative.
Like my mother. But like that was a tough one.
That's tough.
That was a tough one.
Pop would be tough.
Pop would be up there. Pop would be tough. Have the same kind of like.
The world, I think, would stop for a day.
Yeah, because he's a little bit like evolved. He's more of Greg Popovich is like evolved on another level too.
Yeah. That's why Steve Kerr, I think, is so amazing. Because I feel like
Steve Kerr is amazing.
Still,
I cannot believe
great in a suit.
That he almost was the Knicks coach.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No. Would you have been so happy?
Oh my God.
Or would you be afraid that the Knicks would just ruin Steve Kerr as a person?
No, I think Steve Kerr is too, he's got too much light and like insight to be ruined. And I think he would have really done a good job with the franchise. I think KP would have been a way better player. But, you know, it's another thing Phil messed up.
Steve Kerr is the epitome of having your together. That's the way I see him in my mind. He's the epitome of, like, I've done all of it. The only thing he hasn't done is what? Has he been a ref yet?
No, he hasn't been a ref.
He's done everything.
He was an owner.
A player, a GM. Commentator.
Yeah, he's done it all. He loves the game.
Yeah.
He loves the game.
And
crazy
he's
story
nice.
About his parents. His dad,
yeah.
Right? Crazy.
That, like, people really don't. It's, you know, you've got your shit together when people don't lead with, do you ever hear what happened to his dad? Like,
yeah.
That's not the first thing you learn about Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
You learn about him and then you're like, wait, what? It's crazy.
Yeah.
He's got his together, man.
Mm-hmm.
I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Knicks fan.
Giant, yeah.
Giant Knicks fan, which actually, who's rank your sports? Your basketball first.
Basketball, football, baseball.
Hockey.
Hockey.
Can't leave it off.
No. I just meant because I hadn't said it, it was obvious.
Of course. It could have been soccer. You know, people like to say there's five major sports here in the United States.
Those people are wrong.
They're soccer players. So you're Knicks and then Giants?
Jets. I'm Knicks, Jets, Mets, Rangers.
Okay.
Born loser.
Yeah. Jets, Mets. It's tough.
So is Knicks.
So, yes. Yep, that's fair.
I only have one championship in my lifetime. Or wow. Two. 86 and 96.
Yeah, 86. Uh-huh. Interesting. Interesting
how old I am.
No, I was born in 87, but 86 wasn't the Red Sox?
No, that was the Mets. Mm. It was when Bill Buckner, the ball went between the Red Sox.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it was the Red Sox. So
the Mets beat Mets. The Mets beat the Red Sox, yes.
How do you watch sports? Are you like, you're home in time for basketball games?
No.
Religiously watch them every night?
No. I have the NBA app, which is awesome.
Cool.
It's like one of the only apps. It works better than
that
most.
It doesn't suck. Yeah,
it works better than most apps. If I'm on the road, if I'm like shooting a movie or something, the time difference from wherever I am is usually, makes it easy to watch the Knick game because it will happen like at 4 p.m. or something. So I can see it and I'll just like keep my phone on and look at it if I'm at work. But if I'm here, if I'm home in New York, I will try to go as much as I can.
Oh, cool.
And if I can't go, I'll DVR it. If like I'm doing the play or something, I'll DVR it.
Do you sit courtside when you go?
No, not – sometimes I have.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's really cool.
Oh, God, yeah, that's the coolest.
Especially for a team like if you're a New York fan or an LA fan, those are probably the harder
– Yeah.
Like you've got – there's probably like a – Well,
there's a
let's
line.
See. We
yes.
got this guy tonight. And
yes.
You find out where you are in a ranking system, I
Every
feel
time
like.
You go.
Yeah. How does that work?
It works fine for me because I don't think that I have much of an ego like that.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy to be invited. I'm just happy to be here. I really could care less if I'm like where I am.
Yeah. So you just like call a guy and they're like, look, tonight we've got Tom Hanks.
Yes.
And Tom Hanks is going to bump you.
Kind of. Well, my dad has had tickets since I was a baby.
Yeah.
And so I go with him casually, and my father-in-law is also a giant Knick fan, and he has better seats. And so sometimes I go with him. And then when I first started on Happy Endings, luckily, to promote the show, they sent me to a Knick Bulls game.
Oh, wow.
And I got to go and like meet the PR people that work at Madison Square Garden. And it's like a real thing. Like they want their fans, their celebrity fans like in the front row. So they try to get them there for as many games as they can. And so if there's a big game that I want to go to and I'm having and I want to get better seats or something, I'll send an email and be like, hey, do you have anything open? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they don't. And just once in a while you get lucky or you'll get an email that's like, we're playing the Pacers tonight and it snowed in. Do you want to come?
Oh, that's cool.
And you're like, I'll make my way there. Yeah.
Must be a lot easier if you're like a celebrity Pacers fan because they're like, front row, always open.
Yeah.
Come on in.
If you're,
anything you need.
You know what they call a celebrity Pacers fan? A Laker fan.
That's a good point. So you're huge, giant Knicks fan.
Giant Knicks fan. That's getting harder and harder, though.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you feel like it's coming up or it's going...
It's coming up.
Okay.
But it's hard. The politics of Dolan and... the politics of Dolan and the team's policies make it harder and harder to like them every year.
Yeah. Dolan, I'm an outsider as a Celtics fan, but even then casual. I don't think I like James Dolan.
No, you don't.
But do you as a fan, are you just like, get away from my team?
Yes.
Or is it like, I have a little bit of love.
No.
I have one album he put out.
Zero love. Oh,
no.
Of JT and the jump shots or whatever.
Yeah, it's JT and the quick bucks.
I have no love for James Dolan, and I realize that every time I say that, there's a chance that he would not for real, may not let me in the building.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And it's worth it for you.
Yeah, it's worth it because he's terrible. He's a terrible person.
Just don't keep his dad out or his father-in-law. That's not their fault. Just because Adam doesn't like you, James Dolan, doesn't mean you should keep his dad out.
No.
But you...
But I guarantee my father-in-law and my dad would stand behind me on this. As would I think the entire city of New York.
Yeah, I don't think people like him very much.
He's terrible. And the thing... And what he's done to the franchise by just literally meddling in it...
He is a meddler.
Has set us back 20 years of competitiveness. And the fact on top of that, that he's a giant Trump supporter, and the fact on top of that, that he's... Horrible to former players and to past regimes.
Yeah.
I think it probably is the worst ownership in the league.
I would
rather have Donald Sterling now.
After the...
Yes. I would rather have senile Donald Sterling.
Do you think he grew from that, or you think he's like, f*** it, guys, I'm going to die soon?
I think he's crazy in like a weird... I think they put him in like a room, and they're like, look at the ocean, Donald.
Don't contribute.
No. And he was like, okay.
I love the ocean.
Yeah.
Just don't bring it to my games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I would rather one of Donald Sterling's lovers.
Dope. Yep, be the owner of your team than James Dolan.
Yeah, I really think it's a
Dan Snyder or James Dolan. You know, Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins.
Yeah, that's a tough one too. But you know, the Redskins were competitive.
Yeah. So if he spent a lot of money aside, if you're doing well sports wise, is it easier to look past the other stuff that you don't enjoy about James Dolan?
Well, so now's the now we'll know. You know, because it looks as if with Porzingis and Frank that we have a couple building blocks, like we may be good for a couple years, and let's see if he ruins it.
Right.
You know, I think he will. I see him courtside, and it's the worst. It's the worst. Like, to have your team owned by, like, Dr. Evil, essentially. I mean, he has the body of Dr. Evil.
I don't know that I've ever seen much of him from his shoulders down, if I'm honest.
James Dolan...
When he's JD in the straight shot, I've seen he's like a bowling ball.
Yeah, James Dolan looks like Alec Baldwin in It's Complicated without the shading. He's just like, James Dolan has the body of a baseball manager.
Yep. He does look like he'd make a good curmudgeon baseball manager.
Yeah, and it's infuriating to see him like just, it's awful. I wish my dream was that, remember when the Rockets were sold for like $2
billion? Mm-hmm.
I really hoped that he would be like, oh, I could get out and have enough money to never do anything, and he would just sell the team to Puffy.
Puffy?
Yeah.
Who is now, what's he go by now? He goes by Brother Love, I believe, is his new one. Diddy, right?
I think that was just like a...
It was just a joke.
Bad day on Instagram.
He just was like, I want to be this today, but now he's back to,
I don't think Puffy remembers that.
Once you have that many names, can we just pick whichever one we feel like?
Absolutely.
Because you're going with Puffy, which I haven't heard anybody call him Puffy since my dad.
I call him Puffy, but if he was in this room, I'd call him Sean.
I'd call him Diddy, I think.
Diddy?
Mm.
I wouldn't want to assume.
Yeah. Diddy. Pete.
P. Diddy.
Hello, P.
I think I'd call him Puff.
Mr. Daddy.
I call him Puff. Mr. Daddy?
That one.
I think Mr. Daddy would work.
That's getting weird. It's one of my boyfriends. Hello, Mr. Daddy.
I think I would call him Puff.
Puff. Yeah, no, that does feel the best.
Yeah.
Strangely, because it shouldn't.
And how amazing would it be if Puff owned the Knicks?
Would it be?
Yes.
He doesn't know what he's doing. The halftime show would be popping. This is kind of the pitch he gave when he wanted to own the Panthers.
Show me one business that Sean Puffy Combs has gone into that has not been successful.
Good point. I don't know. I'm not as probably intimately familiar with his business ventures as you.
I'm not super familiar, but I do know that dude is rich and has never had a problem.
That's true.
Besides like some gun charges.
He'd probably say that like, well, no, now this doesn't make sense because of the Carolina thing. I was going to say, he'd probably say ownership, probably not even a good investment.
He might, but I think that there's a way to like get a group. Like he would be the face
of the
like
ownership
Irvin, like Magic.
Like we used to say Jay-Z owned the Nets, and it was like you owned 0.5%.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
He's trying to buy the Carolina Panthers.
He called them the North Carolina Panthers.
Good. They should
not
be the
name.
They should be the North Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like, I don't care if he, I think Puffy's smart enough to know that he doesn't know
And so he'd surround himself.
And he'd surround himself with good people. And I just have, like, yeah, it's my dream. My dream would be for Puffy to buy the Knicks.
Anything's better than Dolan. Yeah. Who's somebody you dislike, but that you'd rather have them than Dolan? Like, Puffy seems like an easy, like, yeah, he's a nice enough.
Jeb
like
Bush.
You would like Jeb Bush to own the Knicks.
I'd rather Jeb Bush own the Knicks.
Wow.
Than James Dolan.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's strong.
It's true.
Mitt Romney could probably run the Knicks.
Now we're getting into, now we're a little more dangerous. But now I'm like, I don't know if I want Jeb Bush. But yeah. Yeah,
James Dolan sucks. You're not a fan. And the shitty thing is when you're the owner, it's just like all you're really needing for a qualification there is cash.
Cash.
So there's really no way to get you out.
And he's got all that sweet, sweet daddy cash.
Yeah. Aren't they related in some way to the cable? They have like cable. Is it Cablevision or Time Warner? I get them all confused because you're only really offered one option here in New York, and that's not fair.
And it's Verizon Fios.
No, like, I live in Hoboken, and I tried to get Fios.
You live in Hoboken?
Yeah.
So you're the one.
Yes, me and everyone in a new relationship with a new baby or a dog.
Yeah,
and then me.
Both my sisters live in Jersey City,
where I used to live.
And why'd you go to Hoboken? You get a dog?
No, it actually, weirdly enough, is cheaper to rent in Jersey City, but it's cheaper to buy in Hoboken.
Mm.
So I bought a place, and it was actually better in Hoboken.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I really like Jersey. I grew up in Livingston.
Oh yeah. Because you were in New York, and then you went to
Chicago,
and then back to Jersey.
Yeah. I really like Jersey City a lot. I don't love Hoboken as much.
Yeah.
But
Jersey City's like Brooklyn, like the cool stuff.
Yeah.
And Hoboken's like the bro stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You see a lot of backwards fitted hats yes. in Hoboken.
Every bar, even like your favorite dive bar on the weekends, has a line and a cover and like,
yeah.
And you're like, but this was I watched a game here.
It feels like it's like the new Murray Hill. Like now that Murray Hill is cool. And
is it?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't been keeping up with anything.
Murray Hill is like cool and spendy.
Wow.
Expensive.
Spendy.
Because that area of like by Eataly and Madison Square Park.
Yeah.
That area, it keeps like going up. And so the east side of the park bleeds right into Murray Hill.
Oh, wow.
And so Murray Hill
isn't like Turtle Bay still over there? I feel like it can't be a classy neighborhood if Turtle Bay is
there. Turtle Bay and Kips Bay are like going to be cool in a year.
Ay, ay, ay.
There's nowhere left in New York that's not
expensive as hell.
Expensive and cool.
Yeah.
I really like.
I don't fit in here.
You seem cool.
I'm not that cool. I'm like.
You're hosting a podcast.
Yeah.
That's pretty
so
cool.
So is everyone. I think everyone has a podcast.
And they're cool,
they're
right?
All right?
Like, if you were to be like, what's the coolest profession?
Hosting a podcast?
It's pretty up there.
I doubt it.
Really?
You'd put that up there? Because all you need to do that is a microphone.
If I was writing, like, a Kate Hudson romantic comedy, and I needed, like, a cool job for her to do, this would be it.
Podcast. I like that. It's a good point. Starring in a play is also pretty cool, I feel like.
Really?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel cool.
It doesn't?
No, it feels...
I mean, compared to your other ventures, it probably is, and I'm meaning this not in a judgment way, the least cool, like by natural standards of like, oh, TV shows, movies.
Yeah.
Improv comedy's also pretty cool.
It was at a time.
A play is different.
It's different.
But compared to a person who works in a... office.
It's great. Yeah, no.
Play is probably pretty sweet.
It is. It's very sweet. Anything I do is, I feel like I'm so lucky.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I've never had, it would be really hard for me to be in a position now where I like hated my job, what I was doing.
Yeah. Have you ever been in that position? In your whole life, even when you were like, 13
or
whatever you
worked? Oh, yeah, of course. I hated every job I ever had besides comedy and acting and like directing and stuff. I hate it and was fired.
What industry did you tend towards in
industry?
In when you were younger, some people go retail.
I went retail. I worked at this place called High Country Sports on Ooh. Route 10 in East Hanover, New Jersey, where I was in charge of like, putting people's skis together and stuff.
Fun
was fired within 6 weeks. Mm. Hated it. I was a waiter on the Upper East Side.
That's tough.
Yeah, I made it about 2 days.
Ugh, those people are tough.
Yeah. I dropped a bunch of glasses and walked out. I was like, this is not for me.
Somebody else clean that up.
Yeah. It wasn't even clean that up. I was just like it was so
stressful.
Stressful. And I was so nervous and I just like turned around and all the glasses on my tray fell. And I was just like, I can't do this. and I didn't do it.
It's a specific type of anxiety.
Yeah.
Because it's meeting people all day long,
mm-hmm.
which is exhausting.
And there's a couple professions that I wouldn't want to do based on the fact that you're getting people at their worst.
Yeah.
When you get people who are hungry, there's just like a switch in their mind. They're not the same people. I know that if I'm super hungry you're not meeting me at my best.
Don't be around me.
Yeah, you're not meeting me at my best.
Tired, hungry, don't be around me.
And so, or like a veterinarian, people are like, that seems like a great job. I think that job sounds horrible. Do you know what kind of maniac I'm like if my dog like starts limping?
Yeah.
You know,
I go around sick dogs all day.
And the people that own the dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Are freaked out when their pets are sick.
Right.
That's like the worst thing ever when your pet's sick. And
no one's like bringing in their puppy being like, doc, I need you to snuggle it. Yeah, like, that's not the best
job. You're never in a vet's office and you see, like, just bringing Grover in for his little checkup.
Yeah.
Never.
We're going to have to put this guy down today.
Never.
No one's happy with
Anytime
that.
Anytime you walk into a vet's office, there's, like, a Labrador with, like, one full paw shaved. And it's, like, diarrheaing in the corner.
Even just thinking about, you're going to get emotional. Ever since Ashley became a mom, when babies cry or when something happens to a dog, she just starts to tear up.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. It was like a year ago. It's good. I've been crying for a year straight.
That's about right. Yeah.
I like it. I think it's very sweet.
Right.
She's softening
children.
Me.
You have three?
Oh, I thought you had two. Last I checked, you had two. I haven't checked in recently.
I had another one.
When was that?
6 months ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Wow. Thank you.
The first two are close together.
They're
13
Irish,
months.
Yeah, they're Irish twins.
And then, so
and
this
then
other one.
Waited,
was,
and then we waited. It was a mistake.
By accident.
So
it was a big mistake.
How did you get through it? Like.
We did. We,
we're still
well, we
trying.
We tried to get rid of one.
We're
and,
still trying to get through it every
how
day.
How old are they now?
6, 5, and 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Boy, girl, what's the...
Boy, girl, boy.
Boy, girl, boy. That's a good order.
Yeah.
Are you done now at three? For planned ones, are you done at three?
For any of them.
For just done?
I am done.
Done.
I'm done.
Snippet.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it
I
out.
Wouldn't even if my entire family like died in a plane crash...
Oh, dear. God forbid.
I don't think I'd ever want to do this again.
Have kids?
Or just, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is it.
That's a thing. It's a journey.
Yeah.
You two could probably relate to more than me. No child haver.
No.
Two kids, two small babies at the same time horrifies me.
It was a lot.
Now the kids outnumber you.
Yeah.
I feel like you should get...
Everything you're saying is true.
You should get like a sister wife just so there can be... the numbers will be even on either side when the mutiny happens.
I've asked. It's a hard no.
Which of your kids is your favorite? You obviously
My daughter.
Yeah. Gotta be.
Mm-hmm.
Is she cool?
Yeah.
What's she like? What's she into? What's her?
She's into art.
Cool.
So she's very much into
like impressionism or
Matisse. She'll tell you all about Matisse.
Awesome.
She'll tell you all about Michelangelo. Last night she's my wife came home and she was like, Mom, have you ever heard of Michelangelo? My wife was like, yes, Gigi. And she was like, do you know that he paints the most beautiful ceilings?
Oh.
And my wife was like, yes, Gigi. And she goes, I think I'm going to paint ceilings.
Go for it.
And I was like, okay.
Get it, girl.
If you paint our ceiling.
I will kill you.
I will kill you.
I need that. That is bad to have your kid take up a person who likes to paint things you have in your house.
Yeah. And my wife is telling me the story, like, isn't this adorable? Like, and I'm like, mm-mm. No, did you not hear the language of the story? She's going to paint our house.
It's a good thing she can't reach the ceiling. At least he didn't paint baseboards.
I don't trust.
Lindell.
First of all, I don't trust my daughter not to get up to that ceiling.
You think she's got it in her?
She's
a climber.
She's a maniac.
Was she like a crib escape artist?
Uh-huh.
And
she will. And I don't trust her not to do like she wants to do something. She's going to do it no matter what. So I guarantee that within the next year, our ceiling will be painted.
That's exciting. At least it'll be beautiful.
Yeah, sure. At least and good. Now we're in a rental. When we move to our real apartment, I don't want any of that.
Michelangelo probably started by painting his parents' ceilings. And then they
or
cleaned
at least
it,
his
and
parents,
then they were like,
yeah,
we should have left it
at
there.
Least his parents' rental.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Michelangelo. I won't get a security deposit back. Oh. Oh, what are you doing? Okay, Michelangelo, I'm going to the supermarket. Please. Don't paint at the ceiling. Huh? Please. One thing, please. Don't paint at the ceiling. I try, Mama. I try. Michelangelo, just don't paint at the ceiling. I try, Mama. I try. And she comes back, Michelangelo, I try, Mama, but I had to paint the ceiling.
That's beautiful. Oh, my God. So you're in, you, when you did Happy Endings, was that L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
So did you have to, was that a rental? You just go and, how does your life
work? I moved there for a little bit.
Have you done that a bunch?
I do it a lot, yeah.
That sucks.
It's not bad, but I haven't been doing that for a while because I'm doing a play here.
Right.
And we recently, last year, decided that we wanted to raise the kids here. So we, this is like, New York is now like.
And when you say here, you mean like Manhattan proper?
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Because I see kids on subways.
Yeah, our kids are.
And I'm like, I feel like I should stay away from it for its sake.
What, the kid?
Yeah.
Well, you probably should anyway if it's not yours.
Good point. Good advice. Good life advice.
Anytime I see someone like advice. Walk up to a kid and they're like, oh, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, stop, please.
You don't know that kid.
Not for you.
Yeah.
Same thing with dogs, but people seem like they're okay with touching other people's dogs. I'm always like, you have to ask.
I don't even want
to. Ask.
Also, like, I love dogs. I got a big heart.
Yeah.
The f*** are you doing stopping to touch someone's dog?
Sometimes you just really want to touch it. Sometimes it's just, it's such a good boy.
No.
It's such a good boy.
It's never a good enough boy.
Oh my God, it's always the best boy.
Don't touch that dog.
Do you have a dog?
Yes.
What kind of dog?
It's a mutt. She's a big, like, there's a doodle in her, but she's just like old and wiry. And
I love her. She sounds great.
Her name's Kanish.
Oh, Kanish. She sounds delish. I love her so much.
Kanisha.
Raising kids in the city, I was raised in a suburb, so obviously everybody is biased on how they were raised. And so, like, I see a kid in the suburb, it's not weird to me. But when I see, a small child on the subway, I get very like, should you be here?
Mm.
It doesn't feel right. It obviously is how life works. You can't be paying for your kid to have car service everywhere they go. That'd be insane. But it's scary. Yeah. It's like, there's scary people on the subway. I'm a grown woman, and I still sometimes am like,
are there? Are there more scarier
sometimes
people?
Sometimes fights happen on the subway.
Fights happen in the regular world.
I've seen kids that, like, when they reach high school age and they're taking the subway home from school, they're going through that weird stage where they're trying to figure out what's okay to say and what's not.
Right.
So I'll hear kids do the, like, I don't know. I remember I went through a phase where I was like, ooh, should we call 911 and hang up? You do the things you know are bad, but you're trying to learn where the line is.
Uh-huh.
So kids will yell rape in the subway when they're in high school, and I have to be the, like, curmudgeon-y old lady that's like, hey, don't ever f***ing do that again. That's not okay.
Right, of course, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it's not my place to teach that kid that lesson. But at the same time, don't yell rape on the subway. I'm freaking out now.
Yeah. Well, that does sound like an isolated
this
incident.
This happened four times.
Oh, okay, so maybe
this week.
Oh, wow. Take the
I'm taking the
take
F
Take a different yeah, don't take the F. But I understand everything that you're
it's
saying.
It's scary.
It can be. I don't know. Los Angeles feels just as scary.
Yeah, in
to
a
me.
Much different scary way.
Yeah, but the world is scary. Like I think I like what living in New York has done for my children because it gives them this kind of inner strength that I had when I grew up here. That like there's not many people that do, and so. You walk around a little taller and a little kind of like bigger because anytime someone's like, where are you from? You get to say New York City.
Yeah. And mean it. A lot of people say it and then are like, well, by way of Wyoming.
Sure. Hoboken. Well, yeah.
Shut up. I do say
yeah, Hoboken. Yeah.
I say I live in New York.
But you do.
It's
Hoboken.
Just easier.
Hoboken's to me, like, you're allowed to say New York if you
it's
live
also
in
a square mile city and it lets people narrow down pretty quickly where to find me if I say I live in Hoboken, which I live in Hoboken.
It sounds like you're trying to be found. But yeah, I don't know. So far, I really.
Your kids are going to be cool.
I don't even know if it's cool, but I get the feeling that the city is doing something for them that no other place would.
You're definitely right. If only building up antibodies to multiple sicknesses.
Just the main thing that they're getting from living in the city is bed bugs.
Yeah. Have you ever had bed bugs?
No.
Me neither.
But it's crazy that I haven't, being that I spent a large amount of my time in a theater underneath a Gristiti's.
Yeah. It's under Gristides.
It used to be.
I was going to say that's super New York.
It used to be.
Gristides is a wake up call when you first get to the city, which probably not for you because you're from the city,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, like I grew up on 16th and C, and so we had a D'Agostino.
Also kind of a wake up call. Just, I'm talking like grocery prices. When I first moved to New York City, when I was living on the Upper East Side, when I graduated from college, and I was like, I can find a job once I get there.
Oh.
Very bad idea. Worked at an Equinox selling gym memberships, and I hated it. But you go grocery shopping, like I was buying the bags of cereal.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh no, a box of cereal in Manhattan was an insane amount of money.
Yeah.
Like one of those Greek yogurts, those Faye's, was like $7.
As it should
be.
Dope. As it should be. You're in New York City.
But it's so expensive.
Yeah, so you're in New York City.
Hoboken, not as expensive.
Great, you figured it out.
I did.
You figured it out, how to get
I'm
your
back
cheap
to box cereal.
You found out how to get your cheap Greek yogurt. Mm-hmm. And I, New York City on that level never bothered me, even when I had no money, because there's something about the city that like that's the privilege. That's what you get to be able to walk an infinite amount of miles and turn down whatever corner you want and have it be stimulating and interesting.
You're so like happy. I'm so negative. You're so positive. Like every street corner is an adventure. I'm like, I might see someone I know and have to make small talk.
I mean, I'm older. So I guess like I feel more of a sentimental connection to the city now that I'm older.
Yeah.
I remember in my 20s, when I lived here, at the end, right before I moved to LA, really being beaten down by the city. And I know, I remember that feeling. Mm. Like, I don't care about the wonderment of, like, Greenpoint. It takes me an hour and a half to get there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if the best pizza's in Greenpoint. I'm not going.
Yeah. But now you're like,
but now,
let's go
no,
to Greenpoint.
Now I'm like, I don't need to have the best pizza because I had it. I'd rather get the pizza in my neighborhood and then walk the High Line. Or like, you know, you just become more at ease with the things that you need to do and don't need to do.
Yeah.
And that just happens anywhere with age. But when you're doing it here, it doesn't feel as bad because there's always another thing to do. That's, you know.
That's true. What's a habit you picked up when you lived in LA that you still, like, what's like the most LA aspect of you as a person? Like, do you still juice? Do you prefer kale? Like what?
Prefer kale to what?
I don't know. Regular lettuce? Like, since when did romaine become
yes.
like, ew, that's the unhealthy lettuce? I'm like, well, it's f***ing lettuce. I'm still eating lettuce. Please don't lettuce shame me.
I gotta take umbrage with you here.
Oh, God.
It just sounds uninformed. Kale has nutritional value.
Kale used to be the thing on the side of the plate that you didn't eat, that they put, like, the lemon on when you got shrimp cocktail.
Yeah,
you weren't supposed to eat it.
And an iPhone used to be an iPod. What's the difference? What are we talking about? Everything has to stay the same?
You're really pro-kale.
I'm not pro-kale. I just find your anti-kale stance to be uninformed.
I just like a salad where the lettuce is just a light, refreshing, watery splash as opposed to like a very heavy, tough to chew, makes you feel like a rabbit.
That's fine. What you're getting from kale is nutritional value.
I don't need that. I don't want that.
Well, then definitely get a regular juicy salad. a soaking wet salad.
So is kale your thing?
No.
What's your most LA thing?
I'm trying to think about it. I like juice. I mean, I never juiced. I had a little shop that I would go to, I still go to when I'm out there, called the Beverly Hills Juice Company that is like just really delicious that my buddy Brett Gelman turned me on to. And,
what are you getting? Like a ginger carrot?
I get a shot. I get like a, they do these like health shots that are like, they'll take like an ounce of wheatgrass and an ounce of ginger, a little turmeric or whatever.
Mm.
You throw that down.
Gross.
And then they give you this amazing, they make this shake. It's the best like health shake I've ever had. It's bananas and almonds frozen and mashed together. So it creates almost like an ice cream.
Yeah.
And then they add carrot juice and coconut water. And it's just like,
it's super LA.
It's a badass shake.
This is really LA.
You asked.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm just letting you know, I think this might be the most LA thing about you.
Maybe. I mean, I haven't had it in a while, but
do you think about it?
Yeah.
Are you sometimes like, when you wake up in New York, you're like, damn it, I really want one of those.
Yeah, but I have that when I'm in LA too. Like, I'll wake up in LA and be like, oh, man,
I really want someone who isn't in the industry to have a conversation.
Yeah, I'd like my Uber driver not to give me a headshot.
Oh. Uber drivers in LA, very talkative.
Very. They like to, yeah,
because
they don't
probably because they're auditioning.
They're auditioning, and they're making connections, and like, yeah. Yeah, here, Uber is the job.
Yeah. Yep.
They're like, they talk to you, and they're like, do you know if I could get into Lyft?
Yeah, Uber drivers in LA are a lot for me.
But it's cheaper.
I'm just not used to it.
Uber's way better in LA.
It is cheaper for sure.
Mm-hmm. And it just works better.
Yeah. I had somebody in ask me, because they picked me up at LA Live to go to the airport. First question, so are you famous? I was like, how? First of all, if the answer were yes, you wouldn't have to ask.
Not anymore.
But that's kind of the gripe I have with the word famous. It's like, if you don't know me, well, it would be weird to go, yes, because then you have to explain. So I don't consider myself famous anyway, but it was a weird lead question.
It is.
You don't ask Tom Hanks, like, are you famous?
No, for sure. Yeah, but that, yes. But there are so many people that are, like, kind of famous. I wouldn't know them all.
But you wouldn't want to know if they were, it wouldn't be the thing you lead with. Because if they say yes and you don't know them, then you'd be like, cool, I don't need to know you. You wouldn't then find them more valuable as a passenger in your Uber because they've decided that they're famous.
No, and I think that the one thing that as we talk about this, that we're not mentioning is that I would never, ever be an Uber driver.
Well,
ever.
That's you think very highly of yourself. You know, maybe someday.
I just know that that is a job not for me.
What's your times are tough job? Like, if everything were gone tomorrow, what are you doing for work?
It's tough to say. I really have no skills.
I say that all the time. I'd be a bartender. All I have.
Even that would be hard.
I would hate it, but it's the only skill I have.
I think I would be fired for pouring, like, loose and fast. I don't think I would be a good bartender. I think just some version of this. Like, even if it was like dinner theater or like, you know, if I was like a YouTube dad and I was like making.
That you could do.
Yeah.
They make money.
Yeah. I think about it.
Open up boxes of toys.
Yeah. I think about it a lot because I think that like all I would have to do is just open up some toys a couple times and tape it, and I would have, like, billions of followers and make a lot of money.
Would you feel guilty?
Yeah.
I think I'd feel a lot of guilt.
Although I do, I would like to become one of those YouTube dads that's, like, setting up funny videos for their kid where they're, like, where I'm like, go ahead, throw the football at me, right in the face. Like, did you get it? Did you get it? I'm, like, bleeding. Like, that I think I would do.
If your kids wanted to go into comedy, are you letting them? Are you excited? Or are you like, oh, don't do it?
Yeah, they can do whatever they want when they're 18.
When they're 18.
No show business in the house.
They
can take class, like, whatever they're interested in, I will indulge to the highest level. Like, I will throw money at whatever they want to do. Art.
Paint and ceilings. Yeah.
Acting, dancing, whatever they want to do, but they cannot do it professionally.
Yeah. What about social media? That interests me as a parent. When are you letting them get on social media?
I don't know. It's tricky.
It's tough.
It's tricky because they watch YouTube Kids a lot, and they really like that stuff. And they want to make videos and stuff. I don't know. I don't know. I have to play it where it lies.
That's fair. I put you on the spot.
That's a great question.
The things that freaks me out most about, like, if I have a child is like, mm-hmm. especially if everyone around them is on it.
Yeah.
You can't be like, you can't be on Instagram.
No. Yeah. And I wouldn't do that. My kids are on screens all day long.
Yeah.
They watch TV and they watch their iPads and yeah, I'm not that kind of parent, but
I will be. I'm going to be strict as
I'm getting the vibe from you.
Oh, strict as the world scares me.
Yeah.
I don't want to protect the children from it.
This is the first time I'm getting that vibe from you.
I know.
Is that new?
It might be. I'm very anxious suddenly.
Really?
Yeah,
Because you didn't seem like that when I first met you.
Nobody cared or paid attention to our show. And now I think I've only worked at ESPN for a couple months. But you notice, like, people are paying attention in a way that's like, okay, all right.
But that's
okay.
A good thing.
It is, but it's also, I don't know, I think it just is quicker. It's more than I thought it was going to be.
Uh-huh.
It's more than I'm used to. So now when I say something that normally I'm like, oh, I didn't, like, mean it. And it wasn't like a crazy thing. I thought it was just like an offhand thing I said. And there's articles written about it. You're like, oh, I got to now pay attention to what I say.
But that could be your own self not letting you like break through.
Yeah.
Because you're getting what you deserve and what you would want.
Yeah. And it's scaring me instead of making me feel free and happy.
And giving you more things that could potentially scare you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think like that's what you want would be like, or for me, at least in life, is like you want opportunities that excite you mm-hmm. constantly. And so when something scares you like that, it's both good, but not if you're like, can't create because of it.
Yeah. I think I'm like literally in right now, like it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of working through the get back on my feet of like, it's okay. You can still keep creating things and not
yeah.
feel. So today I'm a little bit oppressed.
You feel oppressed.
I'm feeling a little bit oppressed today. I think tomorrow will be better.
I hope it's not me.
It's not you at all.
Okay.
And you're dealing with it well. I apologize for my oppression. I hope I'm not oppressing you.
No, not at all. I enjoy a new perspective. Yeah.
You have a different energy too, though, a little bit.
Do I feel tired?
No. I thought you'd be like,
that's how I am most of the time.
Yeah, you feel like I don't know, like more positive.
Oh, thank
you. Which I wasn't expecting. You rarely meet people that are feeling at their most positive now.
I wouldn't say I'm at my most positive.
Yeah.
But I would say that I'm a generally positive person.
Trending up. Yeah,
I was telling this to someone yesterday. I'm not a very deep thinker. Like I exist on like a very shallow plane most of the time. Like I have like deep thoughts and emotions and like, you know, fears and all that stuff. But for the most part, I exist on this very like jovial, like face value plane. And obviously sometimes things knock me off it, but for the most part, I'm just kind of like,
which is
both nice and also can be, you know, you wake up and you're like, oh my god, what have I been doing?
it's been three months.
I didn't even check in.
I was in a haze.
Yeah,
I wasn't paying attention.
Oh my god, am I in the army? Did I join the army?
Surely I didn't do this. Let's talk about the play, because the last night was the first. It hasn't opened.
It's in previews.
It's in previews.
I knew that.
It's in previews right now.
It's in previews.
Which means that people can...
It's open to the public.
Then it's open.
Yes, it's open. Well,
what does that mean, it's in previews?
Is it
like, don't get your hopes up?
I don't think so. I'm just learning this because I've never... Last night was the first time I was ever on stage in my life, so I don't know. I'm getting the sense that previews are kind of like... the way that in movies, sometimes they'll like screen it for your friends before it comes out, and they can't really change it in movies, but here you can kind of like manipulate it and say, oh, this moment's not exactly working and this moment's not exactly working.
But when we wrote it, that was a joke, but it didn't land as a joke.
And it's like you're doing it in front of an audience, so you can adjust it. And then I think we open for real, like for critics and everything on the 30th.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
It's called Cardinal. And what's it about? Just quick, like the elevator pitch.
I play a mayor of rundown Rust Belt town, and an old high school friend of mine, played by Anna Klumsky from Veep.
She's fantastic.
Amazing. So talented. Moves back to the town, and we come up with the idea to paint the entire town red so it can become like a...
Literally.
So it can become like an instant...
Not like go out and have some drinks.
No.
Paint the town.
No, like...
No, you literally...
We literally paint every inch of the town red so it becomes like an Instagram destination to try to like revive the town. And it works, except the town is revived by an influx of Chinese immigrants.
Oh.
So the question is like... Would you be, if your town that you grew up in, that you live in, was dying, and you could bring it back, but the people that were doing it were not like you?
You'd fundamentally change it by saving it.
Would you be okay?
Would you do it?
Would you be okay with
that? That's fascinating. Man, plays are doing I don't ever go see plays. Like,
yeah, I don't
I'll
either.
See, like, I'll see musicals, but even then, it's like, it's not a, I'm not like, oh, it's Friday, time to go to the musical.
No, yeah, no, I don't go.
But like, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I feel stupid because it's right here.
Yeah, it's right down the block.
Plays are here.
Come whenever
and
you want.
I watch Netflix instead, and that's dumb. I should be going to plays.
No, Netflix is great.
Yeah, but plays are cool, man.
Plays are cool. Yeah, I think so. I'm learning it now.
How'd you do last night?
I think I did good.
You did good.
I think I did good. I didn't forget any lines.
Okay.
Which was like...
How many lines do you have?
All of them.
Right. So it's like, how the hell do you even start that process of memorizing lines? Because you're an improviser by nature, right?
Yes.
That's what you do.
Yes.
Happy Endings, I imagine, was mostly?
No, Happy Endings had a great, amazing writing staff that, but they let us improvise and then they would... It was more like a cultivation. Like, you would read the script, you do the script, then you improvise, and then the writers on set would kind of... Pull the best and move it together.
Right, right.
But
so this is straight up lines.
Yeah, no, this is word for word. Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, I was nervous when I first started about memorizing because I'm not the best at that, but it just happens. It's just like you read something over and over, you practice it over and over again. It just happens. It's just like, your mind just is able to.
Do you have like a special method?
No.
No. You just read it enough and you're like, your brain's like, we get it. You need me to know this.
Mm-hmm.
We got it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get in trouble if you, in a way that doesn't change the meaning of the sentence, change two words?
Yes.
You do get in trouble.
Not in trouble. I mean,
you get
they're not
brought,
gonna, like,
you go to
fire
the principal's
me, but...
office.
Yeah, I get talked to.
Do you get a written warning?
Mm-hmm. You get little, after every show, they
seriously?
Give, yeah, after every show, they give you like a stack of things where you messed up the words.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how does that make you feel?
Well, I don't care. I hope the writer is not listening. But,
no, that's, I get what you're saying.
But because you're just, to me, it's like those notes come back and they're suggestions. It's like, hey, this word was supposed to be this, so really try to get it next time. But they're not saying like you have to.
Yeah.
Because when you're up there and you're doing the play, like it's once it starts, it's going.
You can't, it's like a living, breathing moment.
It's happening.
Right.
So if you f*** up a line here or there, it's like it doesn't matter.
That seems like a lot of pressure. Here I go again. I don't know. I don't know if I feel like
yeah,
that would
why
be a
are you
thing
so
I like.
Scared?
I don't know.
You'd be great.
I don't know.
You could do it.
I couldn't. I don't think I could memorize lines.
I'm telling you, it just because I can't memorize lines. I'm the worst auditioner on the planet. Every audition I go into, I hold the script. I can't even.
I know. Me too.
But you just do it.
You just do it.
You just read it enough and you just do it.
It's really like, it sounds like you're not giving a good answer. That is actually the best answer. Because that's the answer I give when people are like, how are you natural on camera, like when you're hosting things? I'm like, you do it enough and then it just happens.
Yeah.
It's just how it kind of works.
It's very similar. You're just like, you know, you open up the binder and you start day one on the first word of the first scene and you read it and you rehearse it and you move on to the second scene and then you do it again the next day and then you do it again the next day and you just hope that you can retain it.
Have you ever, so you've been on shows where you play the same character repeatedly, but have you ever been in something where you do the same show every?
No.
You think you're going to love it? You think you're going to hate it?
We'll
see.
That's
got to be tough. It's like doing stand-up. I always wonder how they make the same jokes.
Yeah.
Feel like it's the first time they're telling it.
It feels the most. I've never done stand-up before. I've done it, but I've never had like a routine.
Yeah.
This feels the most like that to me, where you're cultivating it and cultivating it and cultivating it so that you can go out and do it in front of people and they know what they're going to get and you know what you're going to give them.
Yeah. It's like a touring musician of like, you're playing the same songs and for part of them, they must want to like, I'm going to change it up a little. I am sick of playing that exact same. But then you're like, well, you don't want to change it up too much because that's still that person's first time seeing you live.
Sure, yeah.
And if you change it, then they're like, well, I didn't come here to see you do a bunch of remixes.
Exactly,
so it's
got to
be tough.
It is. I mean, not.
I know you're day two, so you're not like, well,
yeah.
I haven't really reinvented
I don't know. But there is. But you definitely are finding new things. Like, I've done it now. I've only done it twice now. Today will be my third one. And but all times, it's been different. In different moments feel different because it's, again, it's not like a movie. It's like it's happening. So you don't have the luxury to sit back and think about like, I'm going to do that again, but I'm going to do this. It's like, it's going.
It's done.
It's so, yeah. It's gone. You know, so it's different. It does feel a little different every time.
So it's kind of nice though.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's meditative. I'm enjoying the meditative aspect of it so far. I'm enjoying being in one place and.
This feels like your most LA thing. Are you like a meditation? Be present.
No, I'm not. I'm not like granola like that, but I think I could benefit from being more.
Yes. me too.
And, but when I say that meditative, I mean that most of my career and most of my work is frenetic because you're shooting a movie, you're rarely in the same place twice because the movie's moving. Mm. You know, you're doing a TV show, you do it for like, it's like really quick and crazy and you get there and you do the show and then that show is never coming. You're never doing that show again. You're on to the next show and you're flying here. It's frenetic. And then this is almost the exact opposite. It's like, just really, really deliberate and you just day by day build like a house and you're in the same place and there's not even a question of like, where are you going to go tomorrow? Because contractually you can't leave the state.
Yeah.
So,
like you can't like go on a trip. Well, I guess that doesn't, wouldn't make
sense. I don't know how I would.
Sense,
yeah.
Katie.
Yeah. I don't even have an understudy. So.
Wow. Well, if you need one, I am available. So.
Sure.
I think
you could definitely play the mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And women can be mayor, Adam.
Of course. I think they'd be better mayors.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
You will have to do a love scene with.
With Anna?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Okay, great.
I'm in.
No problem.
No hang-ups.
No problem then.
No hang-ups on that.
Okay.
As I'm sitting here looking at you, and I didn't think this the first time we met, but I'm wondering, like, would you ever play Jay Cutler in a movie?
Oh. My God.
Not that you look exactly like him, but there's something, I don't know, maybe it's your eyes. I think you have Jay Cutler's eyes.
Thank you.
It is a compliment.
Yeah, I'd play Jay Cutler.
The Jets. You're a Jets fan.
Mm-hmm.
Still? Like, rabid? Or is it just like, I don't know. Like, who's your favorite player on the Jets right now? Like, I can't even...
It's tough. There's not a lot of good players on the Jets. You know, this is another thing. I'm having a hard time watching football.
Mm.
Football has become boring.
Because the player's taking the knee? Oh.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love that. Kaepernick, I love him.
Yeah.
I think what he's doing is amazing. Hopefully there will be Kaepernick t-shirts the way there were Che Guevara ones because he is really a hero.
Yeah.
No, I find it hard to watch football because of the violence. Because I mean, I love it. I dig it. I played it. I think the sport is amazing. But it's just so hard. When you know that every one of those guys, every single player, is going to end up mush-minded.
Yeah.
And soon.
Yeah.
For every hit.
It's like ignorance really is bliss, because it was fun to watch.
It was
and then
fun
the more
to watch.
You know.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. And then, like, every time, even normal tackles, I just, like, it's hard to watch because I would never let either of my sons play it or my daughter. And that, like, ends your interest in it. You know, because you're like, I don't want blood sport. I don't like MMA. I'm never a big boxing fan. Like, I don't want to see someone fight to the death. I want to see competitive sport.
Right.
You know, but I don't like it. Like, I don't know. It's just not as fun to watch.
Do you think there's like a future in which they fix it, or you think it's just like football
NFL,
goes away?
Yeah, I think the NFL is going to go away.
What's the timeline on that?
It depends. I mean, it'll be accelerated after the first couple deaths.
Yeah.
Which will happen. It'll happen.
Like on field deaths.
Like it'll happen. It could happen
tomorrow.
Saturday.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, Katie, it couldn't happen tomorrow because tomorrow's Thursday.
but it could happen Saturday that someone will die. And so that'll be the first major wave when someone dies on the field.
Mm.
But then it'll be like guns. Then it'll be like part of the country will be like, can't take away our NFL. And then I think the sport will just kind of fade, you know?
And they'll try to do things to keep people like, well, hey, look, we got, we're going to light the cheerleaders on fire during halftime. Yeah. You should totally come watch us People light are like, these cheerleaders on fire.
Go the other way.
Yeah, we're looking for like a...
yeah. No, I think that... I hope the sport finds a way to last. Mm. But I just get the feeling like with that last report where it's like out of 111 players, 110 of them had CTE.
Yeah.
They probably had it before they got to the NFL. Yeah. You're like, oof, it's the sport.
It is, yeah. The repeated hitting of somebody in the head.
They said one time. You can get
really?
It one time.
I feel like one time would have to be one big hit, right?
So
and
what?
Then like
I played football. You get big hits. I got lit.
Constantly. Yeah.
When I was playing football in high school, I would get lit up.
Yeah.
Lit up.
What position did you play?
I was a backup quarterback.
Uh-huh. So Jay Cutler. Just maybe, saying. Yeah. Just fitting the narrative.
But yeah, you get just like, you know.
It's the smaller hits that like, it's the constant.
Yeah. And the drills that yeah. I remember doing. They're violent.
Were they still doing that drill that now, no, they don't do? What's it
yes.
called? They slid? The Minnesota, it's called, like, it's named after a school or a state.
Well,
or
we would
something.
Do this drill where they'd put a football in the mid, they'd back two players up 5 yards.
Yeah.
And they'd put a football on the ground.
Yeah.
And they'd go get it. Oof. And I remember just getting, like, seriously, like, the style of hit where you like the whole team would be like, oh,
yeah.
And I'm sure that f***ed me up. I'm
yeah.
sure that I got up like all confused and no one said anything. They're like, do it again.
Yeah.
You know, and that is I think as a kid, you're like, well, it's just part of it. And now you're looking at these poor guys with families and like, you know, it's horrible. It feels really bad. And it feels like another American tragedy that we're not kind of addressing it.
I feel like we got, it's probably low on the list. I feel like we got a couple other things we got to get to and then we'll get to it, but it doesn't make it any less. It's
no,
like,
yeah.
It's like we're going to eventually have to have that conversation.
Yes. That
and
conversation
feel,
is brewing.
I feel like there's value in like hearing you tell that story and also knowing that like there used to be like segments on the pregame shows that were like toughest head-to-head
mm-hmm.
hits
mm-hmm.
where they would celebrate them and that now the thought of that is like, holy shit. I can't believe we do. I feel like there is value in us moving towards the like, oh, I don't love seeing Cam Newton collapse on his way to the sideline because clearly he was concussed from that last play.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's Cam Newton's like 50th concussion.
Yes.
Like, and if you look at Cam Newton now, that dude looks concussed.
Yeah. Like, and like Luke Kuechly when he got his concussion last year and they had to take him off the field and he was sobbing and it was like, you know why? Because you know that he's had a lot of concussions.
Yeah.
And you know that now he's maybe thinking about his future.
Yeah.
It's freaking him out.
Yeah. And and then maybe he's crazy now.
That's the
know?
Other thing.
Like,
yeah.
I hope he doesn't go home and kill his family.
Right. Or himself.
Well, after. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to a long-winded answer to who my favorite player on the
yeah,
Jets.
Yeah, so who's your favorite Jet?
I like Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, I guess that's the star, right?
Yeah, you know, we'll see which one of these quarterbacks we get. They all seem pretty studly.
Do you like Bowles, your coach?
Yeah, he's
yeah.
okay. He did a good job this year. I mean,
yeah.
he had no talent.
Yeah.
So he did a good job. I mean, I'd like to see what he does with a real team.
When do you think that's going to, well, when's that going to happen?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, in the NFL, it could happen. NFL, you're only bad for like a day.
Dude, like the Rams.
Yeah, anybody.
Here's a question. As a person who appreciates comedy, mm-hmm. is it better for you, not obviously enjoyment of sport-wise, but like life narrative-wise, if your teams are bad?
No.
So that you can be like, yeah, I'm a Knicks fan. What
no.
a joke. And then crush the jokes about the Knicks.
No, that's like when people are like, what a great time for comedy with Donald Trump.
Yeah, and
like,
it's like,
no,
it's still bad.
I'm like, no.
Because I don't think I know any funny comedian Patriots fans. Because there's nothing funny about like, oh, you win all the time. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh,
who cares?
Oh, I disagree. I mean, I know a ton of funny Patriot fans.
Yeah?
Yeah, because
maybe
they're
I'm
from...
I'm not racking my brain long
Well, they're
enough.
From Massachusetts, so
just,
they've grown
blood.
Up in a shithole.
Yeah.
And that makes you funny.
Yeah. So how dare you?
It's true.
You grew up in New Jersey, so...
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
You want to have a disgusting off between New Jersey and Massachusetts?
Yeah, you'll win. New Jersey's disgusting. It is where New York puts its trash.
Okay. You're right about that. We're just not racist.
So, yes, you are.
Not like Massachusetts.
We just publicly are more.
Yeah, publicly more and historically.
Pretty racist.
And historically celebrated. I, last year, was promoting a show called Making History that I was on. And I was doing a thing in Boston. And I took a tour of Paul Revere's house.
Mm-hmm.
And right as I got in, I noticed a smaller door.
Oh, dear.
That was kind of crooked and beat up.
Yeah.
And we just kind of sailed right by it. And I was like, what's that? And she's like, slaves quarters.
Wow.
Kept on going.
Yep.
And I was like, love Massachusetts.
It's great.
Love
That's
Massachusetts.
Great.
Let's not address it, but tell everybody what.
That's actually sums up Massachusetts pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're going to walk right past slaves quarters.
And tell you.
We're not going to. Well, we're only going to tell you if you ask.
Yeah.
But if you don't ask, we are glad to not talk about that door.
Yeah.
But if you ask, we're going to be honest, but we're also going to say don't ask any f***ing follow-ups.
Yeah. And that,
we're on to Cincinnati.
I don't love that. Yeah. I don't love. Yeah.
It's not great. But. You want to tell me that, I mean, I've seen Jersey Shore. You think those kids never dropped an N-bomb? I'm pretty sure those kids are probably pretty racist.
Yeah, I'm sure they are racist, but you also have to remember that those kids systemically were also being made fun of for their race. When I grew up in Jersey, there was just as much Italian racism.
Yeah, people hated Italians.
They call themselves Guidos.
Yeah, they do.
That show is an exercise in self-love and self-hate. Because.
Wow.
That those guys were made, guaranteed, they were made fun of.
Oh, yeah, probably, but I was made fun of. That doesn't make it racist.
They were made fun of for who they are.
For being Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always made fun of for who I am. The only way I was ever made fun of for being Italian is because it made me super fucking hairy. And I didn't realize until a certain age that it's like, first I was like, be you. And then it was like, yeah, be a better version of you. Just wax your fucking mustache. You can't be going around school like, it's me.
Yeah.
These mutton chops are who I am. Now it's like, no, you should get rid of those.
Italians are, yeah, they're hairy.
I have a lot of body hair.
Yeah.
Or I did. It's gone now. Don't worry. It's gone now.
No, I'm not worried.
Yeah.
I feel like she's
very
worried.
She's making a mental note to edit this part out.
Yeah.
She thinks that I'm embarrassed by it. You gotta own it.
No, I'm embarrassed by
I apologize. By my body. I'm sorry. My body hair has made you uncomfortable.
God. I think I've gotten pruder with my old age.
Yeah.
Why,
I feel
it. Your children?
No, I don't know. Maybe. I think I get more uncomfortable now with stuff than I ever did before.
My pubic hair is gray.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Pubic hair goes, but you don't have gray hair in your head.
I know.
Do you dye your? You don't dye your hair.
No.
But do you dye your pubes gray? Do you have one gray pube? We talking about five gray pubes?
Like Steve Martin?
Whoa! Full gray?
Mm-hmm.
You have a full gray bush of pubes?
It's not a bush.
If mine were coming in gray, I would grow a 70s porn bush, full on. Gray? That's amazing.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Like 3 years ago.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I now wish I could ask somebody if that's what happens or if that's unnatural, but I wouldn't know.
I don't know. I have a lot of gray chest hair and my beard grows in kind of gray.
But your hair is just all
totally
brown.
Totally brown, yeah.
Wow.
There's a few salt and peppers, but
if
not.
There was a better place to go fully gray, I don't think there's a better place than your crotch.
No.
You've got like a distinguished penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great.
My balls were knighted.
That is incredible. Just full gray. You think Pete Carroll has just full gray pubes? Do you want to kill yourself right now? You look like you're not going to make it through.
I think Pete Carroll just for men's down there. For sure. He's trying to be younger.
He would be that guy. He would be that guy.
Yeah.
He's sneaky real old. I think he's the oldest coach in the league.
Is he really?
Yeah.
And
he's pretty, like, sprite.
Yeah, he looks good.
I think conspiracy theories keep you young.
Yeah.
He's a conspiracy theory
guy. Have you seen his sneakers?
The very dad sneakers.
Yeah, I know.
He's got real dad sneakers. Yeah. Have you seen the, like, Pete Carroll robber baron meme? Where it's like they make it look like he's walking down the field with, like, a a monocle and a hat. And it's very funny.
I'm going to find that.
It's very, I mean, describing a GIF isn't really good radio, but you should Google it. It's very funny.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable.
If someone over the age of 45 were to just listen to your last sentence, they would think you were speaking a different language.
Yep. Yep. Describing a GIF in a meme.
On a podcast.
But they'd be like, Robert Barron, that I understand.
Yeah.
Monocle I'm into, yes. And then you lost me after monocle.
Yeah.
What am I missing? I feel like did I talk about sports enough?
Well, since we've all covered the color of pubic hair, I think we're good.
Yeah. We did reach pretty deep into the archives.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Pally, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always really fun. Thank you.
Good luck in the show.
Thank you.
You don't need it. Break a leg. Oh, you're supposed to say break a leg. Good luck is bad luck. God!
I don't think it matters. It's all fine. But
you.
Thank
you. In the show.
But you guys, please come down.
Okay, I will. Can we come? Do we have to wait till the 30th?
Or no, come whenever you want.
Do I have to say I'm your friend? You said previews are when your friends see it.
No, it's
can
open.
You
can say you're my friend. It's open to the public.
Oh yeah, I'll totally come. Thanks for coming and doing this.
Anytime.
And hopefully, if we get a TV show, you can come do that too.
I
eventually.
I would love that.
Awesome.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't know if it's so either.
No. I feel like it's definitely going to happen.
No, I think you're right.
And I would love to.
All right, cool. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Taking the time. All right, that was Adam Pally. Like I said, very funny, very enjoyable interview. That's it for the pod this week, guys. Next week, we'll have a different guest. Have we booked him yet? No, but we will. So thank you for checking out episode 1. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating because I think we did a pretty 5-star podcast. I'm biased, but I wouldn't give it 4 stars because that would feel really rude and that would probably ruin someone's week, which was already off to a pretty bad start. So if you could maybe just toss me with the 5, whatever. You know what? I don't want to put words in your mouth. You do what you want. But thank you for listening. Ashley, thank you. Daniel, thank you. We also have to come up with a cool way to end this thing. We're not there yet. So for now, we'll go. We out. I'll never do it again. SimpliSafe Home Security is like getting commercial-grade enterprise-level security, but for your own home. Think about the security Fortune 500 companies use. They need to know police are going to be on the scene immediately. This is exactly the kind of security you get with SimpliSafe. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. And that means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. With SimpliSafe, you get comprehensive protection for your home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard inside. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself with no tools needed, or SimpliSafe's experts can do it for you. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Go to simplisafe.com/Nolan today to get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/Nolan to save on home security today. Simplisafe.com/Nolan.